It's always good to sing the Christmas carols, and I love this time of year. I always look forward to Christmas. I think it is just a wonderful time, and some of you might say, oh, Pastor Ted, you don't know what it is like to deal with Christmas. I tell you what, some folks just dread this time of year. They are agonizing over this time of year. They don't look forward to it. And there are a lot of reasons. We may touch on them a little bit this morning. But if you have your Bibles and you've been following along with us, we've been going through Isaiah, but this morning we're going to take a little break. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verses 5 through 25. And as we look at this passage together, the idea comes with making preparations for Christmas. The whole theme is joy to the world. The Lord has come. And I encourage you, if you haven't picked up one of the red devotionals penned by John Piper, that you do so and that you follow along with us as a family, the daily readings. We are in day 3. It's December 3rd, but you can catch up. Make sure you get one, and we trust it will bless your heart to discover Jesus Christ in a fresh way, to dive in with your relationship with Him and discover more about Him, because in all reality, He is the joy to the world. He is the joy to the world. And if you discover that, oh, Christmas is a wonderful time to reflect and remember who Christ is. So, in Luke chapter 1, as we begin, how do you experience Christmas? If we took time this morning, we could probably fill up the whole hour or more so if we talked about the different traditions that maybe your family or your relatives bring to the Christmas table. But do you experience Christmas like this? The agony of trying to find that perfect gift. Oh, what am I going to give this year? What am I going to get that person? Will they like it? I don't want to shop. They have said on the media that Black Friday and Cyber Monday was the biggest sales event ever because people just didn't want to go out to the stores. You find yourself that way. You start out as you're joyful, you're happy, oh, this is going to be great. You go to the store and then you end up like Scrooge, bah, humbug. And you bite somebody's head off waiting in line for the package, or you can't find what you're looking for because they moved it because they want you to go through the different aisles. And you end up frustrated. You end up maybe angry. You end up feeling stressful. You end up feeling like this is the worst time of the year. How can I prepare for Christmas? I don't even like it. And then some of us discover that Christmas can be the most loneliest time of the year. How do you prepare for Christmas? Maybe you have discovered the secret and you're more like this. You've discovered the joy. You know, there is a verse in Scripture that's beautiful. A lot of them are beautiful. One is, the joy of the Lord is the strength of His people. The joy of the Lord is the strength of His people. A lot of times when we come across a brother or sister in Christ and they're not experiencing joy in their life, it's because they're focusing on maybe their weakness and they're struggling. But if we focus on Christ's strength in you, the hope of glory, you will discover His strength. You can rely on His strength to see you through and discover the joy of Christmas. How do you experience the joy of Christmas? The hymn writer wrote in 1719, Isaac Watts, one of the most famous hymns that we sing at Christmas time based on Psalm 98. He wrote it not intending it to be a Christmas hymn or a Christmas carol, but part of the words that were put to music by Lowell Mason in 1848, the words go like this: "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart," do you know the next line? "Prepare him room." Prepare him room. Prepare him room. God is allowing us to enter into this season of Christmas to prepare our hearts to go deeper in relationship with him. It is beautiful. Here we have the verse in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. "And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." That was a specific word given by the angel Gabriel to John the Baptist's parents, that he will be a preparer of the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Now, in that phrase, God has given you, brother and sister in Christ, that calling, that we get to shine for him in such a way that you can just pour out on others the joy of Jesus, and you are making ready for the Lord a people prepared. We don't think about that often, because we're running around here and there trying to find that perfect gift, when the perfect gift is Christ himself. So this morning, let's look at this passage and let's discover together, what does it mean to be prepared? Being prepared for Christ for Christmas will result in a life that brings joy. Joy personally, joy to families and friends, joy to community, yes, and even joy to the world. And the Lord God Almighty wants this season for his people who are called by his name to express the joy of the Lord. If ever the world needs to know about the joy of the Lord, it is today and in the days ahead. There's so much hatred that is being spewed. So many lies are being spewed. So many false opinions are being spewed. So many ideas are being spewed that do not line up with God's holy word in Scripture. And some of us who walk in faith, we want to rise up in a righteous anger, maybe, and destroy. And then on the other hand, there are some of us who want to rise up in righteous compassion and demonstrate the love of Christ. And this is a season to reflect and remember upon Jesus Christ and why God gave his one and only Son. He gave his one and only Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And he did that out of love. He did that out of, yes, a sense of holiness. He did that out of solving the sin problem once and forevermore. Hallelujah. He did that so that those who put their faith in him will have eternal life and fellowship with the Father once and forever. Hallelujah. So how do I prepare for the coming of Christmas? Pastor Chuck Smith said this: "It would appear that as God has set in order the things of the universe, that he probably placed Gabriel as the overseer in charge of the details of getting his son into the world, preparing the people on earth, preparing Mary, because it was Gabriel who appeared to Mary, preparing here in chapter 1, Zacharias. It would seem that he has a hard time keeping secrets. He appeared 500 years earlier and spilled the beans to Daniel of a time that the Messiah would be coming. And so here he is again, some 500 years later. It will be interesting to meet Gabriel. looking young and fresh as ever, as he is one of those special angels that God has committed great responsibilities to. Can you imagine that? But Gabriel here comes, and we'll notice several truths. So how do I prepare for the coming of Christmas? I notice a couple of truths. The first one is, I can prepare for Christmas by being faithful and serving God and my family. By serving God and my family, I can prepare for Christmas by being faithful and serving God and my family. We notice this in the duties of the priest. Notice verse 5 of chapter 1 of Luke. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now go down to verse 8. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Wow. Here we notice the duties of the priest. It was common for the priest to be chosen by lot, and that priest, it was a high honor. It wasn't just, oh man, I gotta go do my duty at the church. They don't know the Christmas list that I gotta deal with, and the bread that I'm making in the oven, and all the special pies for Christmas, and I gotta take time out of my busy schedule to go down to the temple and do this thing. No, that wasn't Zacharias's attitude. Zacharias' attitude was, this was a privilege. It was a high honor. It was like, wow, I'm in the Priest Hall of Fame this month. I get to represent the people of God to go into the Holy of Holies and meet God in intimacy and holiness. They would tie a rope around the priest's leg with a bell, because sometimes God wasn't pleased with the priest as he went into the Holy of Holies, and the angel of the Lord would strike the priest dead and they would have to drag the priest out. It was a very solemn, yes, reverential, yes, worship-filled, yes, intimate, yes, high calling and an honored position. And Zacharias was chosen by lot to go in. Can you imagine? How would you prepare? Maybe a little fear and trembling. Maybe a little excitement. I get to see God. Wow, meet with him. Wow. And so, guess what? Zacharias goes in. I can serve the Lord by being faithful. Zacharias said, I wasn't too busy. Zacharias said, I'm too stressed out. No, he gladly went and fulfilled his duty to God, and therefore honoring his family, honoring his people. You can prepare for Christmas by being faithful and serving God, by serving God. Have you ever thought about that? Well, Pastor, I'm old. Moses was old. 80 years old when he started, or a little younger, but he served God. God can give you the strength. God can give you the ability. God can increase your faith. God can give you new gifts. All you have to do is be willing to say, yes, Lord, use me for your glory. I want to be faithful in serving you and serving my family. Secondly, I see here, I can prepare for Christmas by being devoted to God and my family. Now, there's one thing to serve God. It's another thing to be devoted to God. Devoted to God and my family. We notice the devotion that Zechariah and Elizabeth have in verses 6 and 7. Now, notice those verses. And they were both righteous before God. The both referring to Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were both righteous before God. Luke defines what that is. What does it mean to be righteous? Well, the next phrase, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Wow. I can be devoted to God and to my family. How so? By being righteous before Him, by walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. That's a high order, isn't it? That is a high calling, a high order. It's like so often I feel like I'm walking down here. To walk blamelessly is to walk up here. But there's a secret in the Christian life that so often we forget. What is it? Oh, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in every heart and every believer. And He gives you the ability to walk blamelessly. He gives you that supernatural spiritual strength when you are tempted to say no to sin and wickedness and say yes to Him. God gives you that strength. He clothes you with His righteous robes. He clothes you with His goodness. The Holy Spirit begins to flow in you, the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, right? Faithfulness. Galatians 5. The Lord does that, allows you to walk blamelessly before Him. Wow, God is calling us to walk blamelessly before Him. And in the statutes of the Lord, that's His word, His commandments, to know His word, to let it infuse your heart and your thinking and your soul so that you can meditate on it like the psalmist says, day and night. So you can be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit and its season. That Jeremiah says, it will not even wither in times of heat or drought, but it will always bring forth fruit. That is God's desire for your life. And it begins by being devoted to Him. And this is a season where I can express to the Lord more than ever my devotion to God. Notice here the appearance of the angel. Notice the appearance of an angel of the Lord. And there appeared to him, in verse 11, the angel of the Lord. This is before Zechariah, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So now, Zechariah has been faithful. He's highly favored by the people, by Lot. He goes into the temple courts because of his testimony, and we see that he goes in. He's going in. He's going in, and he finds there an angel of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that would be a frightening experience, wouldn't it? That's why every time when you look at Scripture, it says the angels of the Lord always says what? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's alarming. It's overwhelming. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And as he comes, we notice that there was something heavy on Elizabeth's heart and on Zechariah's heart. Verse 7 says that. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. The issue that was dealing with this righteous couple, this couple who walked blamelessly before God, is that in the world's eyes, they were shamed because Elizabeth had no child. She was barren. And in that custom of that day, it was really protocol, an honor for women to give birth. And if women didn't give birth to children, they were kind of shamed, second class, third class. And that was heavy on their hearts. Maybe there's something going on in your life, in your world, in your situation that others in this world, in this society, shame you or you feel shame. Maybe it's because there's some nagging sin that's been hanging on to your life. Maybe there's some guilt because you don't feel fully forgiven and accepted by a holy God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God Almighty has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. And that means the guilt and the shame of the past. And all you have to do is confess before Him. He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. And the enemy comes along and says, no, 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 you're not forgiven. Let me tell you something. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection power of the Lord, you are. Hallelujah. Cleansed, made holy, acceptable in his sight, raised to be a royal priest in the house of God Almighty. So don't allow the guilt and shame of the past to hinder you from being fully devoted to the Lord. So Zechariah is in the middle of the temple here. He sees Gabriel, and Gabriel begins. Notice what happens. Verse 12, we see Zechariah's reaction. It's really that of really fear. He says, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Notice, many times when we come into the presence of the Lord, sometimes our hearts cry out and they're filled with trouble because the enemy's attacking or because we're dealing with issues and God wants us to lay it all down at the altar. And this morning we're going to have time for that at communion where we get to come and bring our burdens, bring our baggage, bring all those things and lay them down before the Lord. And God in his mercy and grace will meet you in your time of need and bring healing and bring wholeness and bring redemption and bring reconciliation and bring restoration and bring revival and bring refreshment. God does that. Hallelujah. And he'll bring cleansing. So we notice Gabriel's response in verses 13 through 17. He says, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Ooh, what was that issue that was heavy on his heart? My wife doesn't have any children. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And, verse 14, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Wow. Gabriel says, Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. Guess what? When you pray to the Lord, that issue that is upon your heart, that's heavy, that's weighing you down, that's keeping you maybe almost from functioning, or it wakes you up in the middle of the night, guess what? God hears your prayer. It's like a sweet fragrance burning before the Lord on the altar. Check out Revelation. The prayers of the saints go before him. God is aware of what's going on in your life. God knows the situation. God knows the problems. And God also knows the solution. And he's asking you to trust him. Trust him in this. Man, this is a powerful message to Zechariah in the Holy of Holies, that they will have a son. Elizabeth's shame will be taken away. And they will call him, not Zechariah, but call him John. And what will John do? He will be known as the one who prepares the way of the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he'll go in the power of Elijah. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient of wisdom of the just. This is what God is doing. God has a purpose and a plan. He has a purpose for you, for your family, for every individual. And he has a plan. And God's going to accomplish his plan. The beautiful thing is he encourages us to partner with him in his plan. to be devoted to Him. And through my devotion to Him, I'm devoted to my family. I don't know about you. I don't know if you have put your feet in Zechariah's sandals here and shoes or whatever, but what would you say to this? How would you respond? What would you say to Gabriel? Well, we see what Zacharias does. And we learn from this. I can prepare for Christmas by believing, trusting, and obeying when God answers my prayer. A lot of times, it's hard. God answers our prayer and we're shocked, we're amazed, we're surprised, aren't we? Notice what Zechariah does here at verse 18. We see some doubt, his doubt specifically. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Wow. So Zechariah responds immediately, "Okay, I'm no longer afraid, but boy, I'm unbelieving. I'm doubting here. How can this be, Gabriel? I just don't know." Now, we may think at first glance, well, the angel's kind of hard on him for what follows. We know the story, don't we? But Gabriel is assuring Zechariah of God's answer in verses 19 and 20. It says, "And the angel answered to him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" God's answers to prayer, they're good news. They're good news. "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place." Why? It says there, "because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Wow. Here in the most respected way, highly honored way, Zacharias gets to go in to meet with God intimately. God doesn't take his life because his walk is blameless before the Lord and obedient, he and Elizabeth, but the burden of his heart was, "I have no children, my wife is barren." God hears his prayer and answers, and he responds, "I don't really believe this to be true. How can it be?" Have you ever found yourself walking in this world in your spiritual journey of faith, praying over an issue over and over and over again, and the more you pray, the more things get worse, and you find your faith and your soul and your spirit and your thinking saying, "I just don't know if God can answer this prayer. I just don't know if he can handle this problem. I don't know if he can remove this situation." What we are saying is God's not big enough. God's not powerful enough. God's not strong enough. God's not loving enough. God's not whatever. When the opposite is true, God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we're walking in the fire, maybe like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Lord is right there with us in the midst of the flame. Sometimes God is with us and we feel like Daniel in the lion's den, and there's all those lions around us trying to devour us, but God is right there closing their mouths. Sometimes we're in the boat and we look out and we see Jesus walking on the water and we think it's a ghost and we're filled with fear. And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, it's I." And he calms the winds and the storms and we marvel at his power. God wants us to prepare for Christmas by believing in his answering our prayers, by trusting in his ability to work for His glory on our behalf, for obeying Him when it's even difficult to see His hand at work. Not to fall into this doubting, unbelieving idea. Now, God was merciful to Zechariah because Gabriel just closed his mouth. Could have wiped him out, but didn't. God just closed his mouth. And that was God saying, in the proper time, you will see this take place. And when you obey the promise, then you'll be able to speak. Now, people outside were wondering what was going on. They were outside at the beginning praying over the service. And they were pouring out prayers, asking God to work. And they were kind of wondering what was going on. Notice verse 21. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. Okay, is the bell still there? Is he still alive? What's happening? Verse 22, and when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. He had much to think about. Have you ever lost your voice? You can't talk. You have to write things down. You've got to think a lot, don't you? I believe God was using this time in Zechariah's life to just allow Zechariah to meditate, to think about what he had heard, what he had seen, what he experienced, and was he going to follow through by obeying and trusting and believing in God's answer to prayer. Is there a burden on your heart? An issue that you're facing that you have to lay at the altar and say, God, I'm going to believe you for this. I'm going to trust you for this. And I'm going to obey you no matter what. No matter what, I'm going to obey you even if I don't feel you're working. I don't sense you're working, but I'm going to obey you. God wants you to lay it at the altar and trust him. We see what happens then. His time has ended. Zechariah goes home. Notice verse 24. We see that I can prepare for Christmas by praising God for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he's going to do. Verse 24 and 25. We see here, he says, after these days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Now, you might think offhand, oh, don't be too hard on Elizabeth. Why? Well, she was old in age, not really of the age to give birth, but God was doing a miracle in their life, answering their prayer, taking away her reproach, taking away her shame, establishing her back into a good reputation among the people's eyes. But in God's eyes, they were already accepted totally because they were walking blamelessly before him and in the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. And so maybe in this time, Elizabeth just hid herself to spend that time with God, praising him, worshiping him, honoring him, and she comes to that conclusion in verse 25, the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take my reproach away. The Savior can solve every problem. The tangles of life he can undo. There is nothing too hard for Jesus. Nothing, nothing. Nothing that he cannot undo or do. So, are you looking to him in this time of preparation to bring your requests before him or to take those requests that you have already brought before him and then give them as a fragrant offering and praise him in the midst. Praise him in the midst. Lord, I don't see the answer, but I'm trusting in you, I'm believing in you, I'm obeying you, and I praise you already for what you have done. I praise you for what you're doing, and I praise you for what you're going to do. What did God do for Zacharias and Elizabeth? Gave them a son who had a high purpose to prepare the way of the Lord, to turn people's hearts away from sin and wickedness to the Lord Almighty in the power of Elijah. God has a plan and a purpose, and the burdens and the problems and the situations that you're bearing and carrying. And he wants you to see the big picture, but to trust him in the big picture. To trust him in the big picture and say, God, I want to trust you and obey you and believe you in this situation. And then in the midst of it all, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to shout. I'm going to give you glory because, first of all, I'm no longer ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I might be still ashamed in the world's eyes, might be persecuted for righteousness' sake. I might be shunned, but in your eyes, oh God, I'm accepted, redeemed, made holy, called your child. You've given me the gift of your Son, your Holy Spirit, and the fruit thereof comes and flows through me. And I pray that you will increase my faith during this time of preparation so that I can praise you. How can we praise God today for what he's done? What has he done? He has saved you and me from our sin. Hallelujah. What has he done? He's given you the gift of eternal life. What has he done? He's raised you up to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, to clothe you with his righteous robes. Hallelujah. He's given you the ability to say no to sin and wickedness and worldliness, and given you the ability to say yes to righteous living and holy living and spirit-filled living with the fruit of the Spirit, to love when you'd rather show hatred, to give peace when you'd rather show anger, to give gentleness when you'd rather cuss somebody out. The Holy Spirit does that transformational change in your life when you submit yourself totally to him, 100%, holding nothing back. Lord, I want to praise you because of what you've done. It's bigger than I can ever think or imagine. Your love is wider, longer, higher, deeper. And may it infuse me in such a way that I pour it out this Advent season upon others, so that the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ is my strength and my song. Hallelujah. Elizabeth was met in a special way. So the time came for them to have the birth. And guess what? Zechariah came through. His faith moved from doubt to obedience to praise, and they named the baby John, and he began to speak. Wow. Wow. Praise his holy name. So, what is God saying to me from his word today? What is God saying to your heart, and how will you respond? Is there something that you've been asking or longing for God to do, persistently praying for, yet doubt he'll answer, or even if he's listening? Do you still doubt God and his work even when he answers your request? Are you eagerly preparing for Christ to come, make ready for God to do a Christmas miracle in your life? Are you desiring to have God do a greater work in your life, in your family, in your community, in your world? John Piper, in his little devotional, if you are reading with us, encourage you again to pick one up, okay? He said this on December 1st. He said, here are some ways to prepare your heart for Advent. First, meditate on the fact that you need a Savior. We all need a Savior. And there's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not money in your bank account. It's not your position. It's not your job. It's not oh, I'm in good health right now. It's none of those things. It's Christ alone. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John said, as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. We come to him by faith, believing. Second, John Piper says, engage in a sober self-examination. And in just a moment, we're going to do that with communion, where we are going to remember the Lord's death until he comes. It's biblical, it's obedient, it's faith increasing. But we're going to reflect and take a sober examination, encourage you to take a sober examination of your spiritual walk with the Lord. Ask the Lord, Father, how am I doing with my walk with you? David prayed that, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. Third, John Piper says, build God-centered anticipation, expectancy, and excitement in your home. For Christmas, especially if there's children, he says, if you are excited about Jesus Christ and his birth, guess what? Others around you will be excited about Jesus Christ and his birth. Let's get excited. What's that song? Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord, King. Let's get excited about Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Fourth, he says, be much in the Scriptures and then memorize the great passages of Scripture so that throughout the day, when you face the difficulties and the challenges, God's Word will just come to the top and you can rely upon his Word to your soul and your heart to give you strength to overcome, to be an overcomer for him, to give glory to him, to praise him for what he has done, for what he is doing and what he's going to do. We're going to prepare our hearts for the time of the table this morning. And as we do, I encourage you to examine your heart to the Lord. In the bulletin we hand out every week, pray the word. And they're good. I hope that you read them. I hope that you use them. Today's is exceptional. The prayer could be a prayer that we all could read. And it says this: thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ became flesh and lived among us, and that his glory was revealed. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your own Son, to be a sin offering for me, providing the way for me to become your child. Jesus, the Messiah, is born. You alone, Jesus, our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It is in you alone, Lord Jesus, that all the fullness of God dwells, and through you alone that I have been reconciled to God because of your shed blood on the cross. I confess, Lord Jesus, that you alone are the way to God the Father. You alone are the truth and the life. Because of your sacrifice for me, I am now presented as holy in the Father's sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Help me, I pray, to continue in my faith, established and standing firm. May the light of Jesus and the gospel so shine from my life to others that they will turn and glorify your Father. Wow. May that be the prayer of our heart this morning as we come to the table. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts, the challenge that is ours. Lord, we thank you for the example of Zacharias and Elizabeth, how they were devoted to you, devoted to each other, devoted to their family, devoted to their duties, and Lord, you honored them. And yes, at times we are just like Zechariah. We see the answer to prayer, we see your hand at work, and yet we doubt your ability. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us. We pray that you will increase our faith in such a way that we will respond praising you, that nothing will silence us from praising you, that we'll praise you not only in the sanctuary a fellowship together as a church in communion, but we will praise you outside these walls. We'll praise you in the marketplace. We'll praise you standing in the line. We'll praise you when we drive in traffic. We'll praise you when we're buying groceries. We'll praise you when we're making the Christmas list. We'll praise you, Lord, when we are watching maybe Christmas specials on TV. We will praise you continually because of what you have done and what you are doing and what you're going to do. And Lord, we know that you're coming again. Hallelujah. And I pray that you will allow, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to move in our hearts in such a way that we will prepare as never before your coming, so that your joy will be in us and that we can express it to others this Advent season. So, Holy Spirit, as we honor the Lord this morning at the table, come and have your way. Come and have your way, and we will give you glory and praise. In Christ's name.